quickly start that. Kindergarten, first grade, and my brother's name is Paul, And he was there too, and he was coming along, and there were logs under the bridge, and all of a sudden he disappeared out of sight. He just went, whoop, and then he was gone. And I remember looking down, and he was gone. And some of the older boys that were with us, I remember Tim McCoy was there, and I think Mark McCoy, and I think Roy, and I don't know who all, but they went down a little further where the water was, and he saw his ear. He reached up and he grabbed him by the ear and just pulled him out of the water. I just remember Tim grabbing him by the ear and just pulling him up. Here he was holding him like this, off by his ear, saved him from drowning. And I thank the Lord that my brother Paul was saved from drowning. But I thought about that. We were there playing, throwing rocks and that, and my little brother got saved by the ear. You know something? The Bible says that through the foolishness of preaching, and where do you think preaching goes in? It goes in your ear. And you know, in a very real way, when the gospel is preached, you can be saved by your ear. Because it's in there that it goes. In the prayer meeting we had back behind this wall, there were a couple of mentions in the prayers about the gospel of God. And we can turn to that before we pray. Romans chapter 1. And verse 16. And anybody here who's saved believes this. And maybe sometimes you don't feel like you live it always, but it says in verse 16, Romans 1, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The scripture tells us that hearing, then faith, and there must be a preacher so that hearing can be done. So in a very real way, you can be grabbed by your ear and pulled up out of certain death, like my little brother was. So we ask God's blessing on this time. Can we sing as well a couple of lines of verse 32, number 1, number 5, number 8. Number 1, 5, and 8. Somebody please start that. That's okay. "Yet there is room, the Lamb's bright hall of song, with its fair glory beckons thee along. Room, room, still room, oh enter, enter now." Number 5, "Yet there is room, still open stands the gate. The gate is love, it is not yet too late. Room, room, still room, oh enter, enter now. Ere night that gate may close and seal thy doom, then the last low long cry, no room, no room. Room, room, still room, oh enter, enter now." The last part of verse 5 says, "The gate is love, it is not yet too late." Not yet, but there is a day when it will be too late. Some of you younger children in that, when you've had Sunday school and gospel, have you ever had anybody ask you what gospel means? You know what gospel means? Anybody can say yes? I see somebody saying no. What does gospel mean? Maybe somebody older will just tell us what gospel means.
Good news.
Oh, that's good. Good news. Well, what's that say? What's that say right there? Iowa News? You think this has good news? Does this have maybe good news? Sometimes, yeah, they can have good news. This is a little bit out of date, though. This is May 21st. You know, sometimes farmers, like some who are in this room, they would look at this, and they would look, maybe, and they would look. I don't think this has a page about it, but it would tell about maybe prices for hogs, maybe prices for crops, maybe something about the grain and what's going to happen, maybe something about what people think is going to happen with the rain. And that's been a real concern this year. And you know, I want you folks to know too that in Des Moines and other places, even though there's not too many farmers living in Des Moines, we pray a lot about the rain, you know. And we're so happy that the Lord is, we believe He's heard us. We don't think we're the only ones he's hurt, but we're so happy that he's answered those prayers, and he has so much, and we're so delighted that he has sent rain. But you know, sometimes people look and ask, and this is news, this is about news, but boy, I tell you what, it's not always good news, and there are some things here. There's somebody that disappeared on the first page. There's one here about a boy who died because, you know what, he watched a movie show so many times, and he got so fixed on that, he killed himself. And there are other things in here. There's somebody that disappeared and they can't find him. There's kind of an interesting one here. There's a little girl with a little pet pig. And she's pretty happy about that. That's kind of good news. But then there's another one. It says people who rob us like this aren't being good neighbors. Well, that's not so good news. There's a guy who was killed in a train crash. That's not very good news. I mean, just kind of sad. Something about people being disabled. Oh, here's a bad page. The title of this is obituaries. And there's all a list of all these people that died. You know something? It's kind of interesting here because it has pictures, and there's a picture here of a real old lady. Like, she's probably older than some of your moms and dads here, and she's really old. She's got gray hair and everything, and she was really, really old, and she died. And they had a funeral. And there's another guy here, doesn't look like he has any teeth, and he died, and they had a funeral, you know, and he's... That's not so good news. Probably somebody's pretty sad about that. But you know, it's funny over here on the next page. The guy says, Robert L. Harris, 26 years old. Well, you know, to somebody like Ben, maybe Paul, some of the younger ones here, you know, that's maybe old. 26 is pretty old. But I look at these real old people here, maybe 80, 90, they died, and I think that's pretty old. I don't think 26 is too old. I think that's pretty young. But he died. He died. And you know what? There's no place on here that says any good news about it. And we sang in that song, it says, it's not too late. You know what? You're alive. And you breathe. And you're not dead yet. It's not too late. But this guy, this man, Robert L. Harris, you know what? I hope he was saved. Because he died. And it's too late. You know, it's too late for him. Sometimes you look at here, and you'll look, and you'll see one, and it says, like 6 months old. Well, that's almost younger than anybody here, isn't it? Well, you know what? I'm so glad the Lord Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood, because somebody at 6 months old, he can say to that little child, I came to save you, and I saved you. You know something? That's not much good news, and most of the time when you look at these newspapers, there are things there that are helpful and might help you with your job and help you about what's going on maybe. You need to know some of those things, but there's not much good news. In fact, people who don't think anything about the Lord Jesus will tell you that sometimes there's too much bad news. Now, you know what? There are things in here about people that died. There are stories in here about people who were murdered. There are stories in here about people who committed suicide. There are stories in here about little babies that died. There are little stories in here about old people that died. But in the middle of this whole story, whatever question you have about who you are, what I am, where am I going, what about my sins, all those things are answered. They're not answered in here. They're just bad news when it talks about bad news, and that's all. There's no answer. But it talks in here about somebody that died in that, you can turn on to the next page, and you can turn on down to some other pages, and you can find out the answer and what can be done about that. And what happens when somebody dies, you can know. Why? We talk about that in the gospel. Well, I want to tell you some good news. You know, the gospel can be bad news to you if you say no. If you're a boy or girl and you say no when they talk about the gospel up here, then you know what? There's only bad news for you. And older ones too. That's all there is. It's just bad news. Because someday, this newspaper will say in the obituary, it'll have your name, and it'll say, died, say what day. There probably won't be anything else there. And then somebody will go talk to your mom or dad, or somebody, and say, well, did this little boy, or did this girl, did they know the Lord Jesus as their Savior? And they'll go, "We didn't know." You know, that's sad. That's bad news. I wouldn't want to hear that news. But you know, sometimes a little boy, a little girl, maybe an older one too, sometimes they die. And you go to a funeral, and you know what? Your heart is sad, but there somebody talks. Somebody gives the gospel, somebody talks about the good news. And then they tell a very good thing. They say, "You know, this John or Mary or whoever their name was, she or he knew the Lord Jesus as their Savior." And that's good news. Because they believed what this book had to say. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 33. And verse 11. You know, this is kind of a thing you could say to somebody who has been to Sunday school, somebody who's been to gospel meetings, maybe somebody who's gotten ready for gospel meeting and their mom is telling them, you know, "Hurry up and get dressed, wash your hands, you know, get clean, you've got dirt on your face," and you're going, "Oh boy, we got to go to another gospel meeting. It's kind of boring. Another gospel meeting. Here we go again. I'm tired. I want to play." You know, you think sometimes things like that. Boring. It's not much fun. There's sometimes people think like that, don't they? You know what I thought about? Suppose your house was on fire and somebody came up to the door and they knocked. And they opened the door and they stood there and they kind of said, "Your house is on fire. You better get out." And they were kind of boring. You know what? I'll bet you'd check and see and make sure. I mean, you'd get out, because you wouldn't care whether they were boring or not. And I want to tell you, sometimes the people that stand up here, like me, aren't always interesting like they're supposed to be, because this is an exciting thing we're talking about. Sometimes we don't tell maybe interesting stories like we should, and sometimes maybe we're not right in here, we're not as happy as we should be about this good news. Sometimes that's true. But I want to tell you, there's no other way. I don't care how old you are. There's nothing else that anybody can say. Your mom or dad or anybody that's here, nothing else they can do. They can't be dressed in colorful clothes. They can't do anything. They can't jump up and down. They can't shout real loud. They can't do anything. They can't play loud music. They can't do anything different than tell you about Jesus and the good news. That's the only thing that can reach your ear and save you from death. That's the only thing. You know, sometimes we don't always talk simple enough or plain enough so that boys and girls can understand. And that's too bad. But you know, I want to make sure, with the Lord's help, that what we're talking about is simple enough that you can understand. You know, you can understand skipping rocks in the water, can't you? We start out talking about that. Yeah, we did that today, didn't we? Yeah, and you can understand when you saw there and you saw those rocks and logs, when I told you about my brother that fell in the water, you can understand that, can't you? That somebody could die that way. And I'm so glad. I know my little brother Paul wasn't saved then. He got saved later on. But if he would have died that day, there would have been no good news. It would have been sad news. My mother and father would have been unhappy. I would have been unhappy. All my brothers and sisters would have been unhappy. And we wouldn't have known if my little brother was saved, because we didn't know for sure. Later on, we did. And we would have known he went to heaven. But if he would have died that day, he would have gone to where? When you're not saved, where do you go? This book that tells good news tells the sad news that people who die without the Lord Jesus go to a terrible place, hell. They go to a terrible burning place called hell. You know, I've told this story before, but I sometimes don't know if the little ones do. When I got saved, I had heard the gospel till I was about Paulie's age. I was about exactly Paulie's age. And I could tell somebody would have said to me, "Sam, how can I get saved? How can I go to heaven?" I could have said, "You know, you believe on the Lord Jesus, because he died on the cross. If you believe on the Lord Jesus, you can be saved." I could have told them that, but you know what? I wasn't saved. I could have quoted a Sunday school verse that I had learned maybe the week before. I could have said, "Well, John 3:16, and I could have quoted that to him. But you know what? I wasn't saved. And my dad said to me one night, he spanked me. You guys been spanked before, haven't you? Yeah. And so have the older ones here. You know they all have been. Grandma and Grandpa have been spanked someplace too. Long time ago. But then, you know why they get spanked? Because you're bad and you're naughty. And your mom and dad want you to do right. But naughty things and bad things, when we talk about that, naughty means sin. If you've been naughty, you've been sinning. And older people, when they've been naughty, have been sinning too. But sometimes people don't like to call naughty sin. And they like to call stealing, ripping off, or some other word. It doesn't sound like sin, but it's all sin. And God says that if we sin, we can't get to heaven with sin. You can't get to heaven with sin. But you boys and girls can understand how that somebody could be saved. And if you're not saved, you can go to a bad place called hell. Well, my dad spanked me, and he sent me to my room, and I was crying. And I was in my room, and it was dark, and I was crying. My dad used to come in after he would spank us sometimes, and he would talk to us, and he would say to my sisters or myself, and he'd say, you know, son or daughter, we love you, and we spank you because we do. But my dad came in, and this time he did too, but tears were coming down his face. My dad was crying. He came into my room, and he was crying, and he said, you know, son, he says, we love you, and that's why we spank you when you do things wrong, but there's something we're more concerned about. We know the Lord Jesus, and we were saved, and we know that when we die, we're going to heaven. But we don't know if you know. We don't know if you know the Lord Jesus. And he said, son, if you die in your sins, you will go to hell. And we don't want you to go. And he left my room. Now I want to tell you that. What do you say about that? Little boy or little girl, what do you say? If you died tonight, somehow, because you got sick, you died, would you go to heaven? Would you go to where your mom and dad are going to be? I really want you to answer that inside your heart and say yes or no to the Lord Jesus. I really want you to answer that. Inside your heart, inside here, where you think right now, and you're thinking about what I'm saying, saying, you know, I don't know, or yes, I know the Lord Jesus. Last time I was talking in Des Moines, in the gospel meeting, there was a little boy sitting up front, and he was thinking, and he was listening, and he said, I know Jesus, I believe, because he thought about it, and he thought about it, and he said, I know that if the Lord Jesus took me home, or if I died, I know that I'd go to be with Jesus. Can you say that inside your heart, in here? Can you say as you're thinking, I know that I go to be with the Lord Jesus because I believe in him, and he's my Savior? You know how simple it is? What would you do? What would you do? And what do you do when you want something to eat? What do you do when you want an apple? Or you want an orange? Or maybe you want a sandwich or a cookie? Do you go to your mom and say, Mom, can I have a cookie? And she might say, yes. And she'd give you one. Mom, I want an apple. Dad, can I have a candy bar? Can I have a soda pop? And you say, yes. And he gets you a soda pop and he hands it to you. You know what the Lord Jesus told a woman in the Bible? In John's Gospel, he told her, if you knew who was talking to you, you would ask, and he would give you. He would give you a drink, and you would never thirst again. And he was talking about eternal life. Just like asking for a drink of water. Do you think if you went to the Lord Jesus, who is the author of this book, who died on the cross, who shed his blood, you think if you went to him and said, Lord Jesus, I'm just a little boy, or I'm just a little girl, but I know I do naughty things and that's sin, but I want you to give me that drink. I want you to give me eternal life. Save me. Wash my sins away because I know you died for me. You think he'd say no? Well, I want to tell you tonight that he doesn't say that. He says, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise or for no reason turn away, cast out. He won't turn you for any reason at all if you come to him, the Lord Jesus. Save me. I want eternal life. I want to be saved. Save me. I believe in you. I trust you. And you know what? You can say then, Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. Because he will do what he said. He doesn't change his mind. It didn't happen that mom and dad got saved one way and then you get saved another way. It never has happened like that ever. And it won't happen anytime. Well, we know the Lord Jesus means what he says. And you can understand that. And he'll do just like my little brother was saved from the water. He'll reach down and he'll pull you up and he'll bring you right out of the water and he will save you and save your life. Turn with me to Matthew. Matthew chapter 27. Read Ezekiel. Let's turn back to Ezekiel. I'm sorry. Talked about it, but didn't read it. I want to read it because it's very, very important. Ezekiel chapter 33. It says in the middle of this, or near the end of this verse, why will ye die? It's like, you don't have to. No little boy or girl in this room that's ever been to Sunday school, that's had their mom and dad talk to them about the Lord, you don't have to. You don't have to die and go into a lost eternity. You don't have to. And you know what? You can live forever with your mom and dad in heaven and with the Lord Jesus. You can be there forever. But the question in this verse is, why? It's like, I don't understand it. Why do you not want to be saved? Or why would you stay that way, not saved? We think about that and we look at people up and down the street in this town and different places and we want to say to them, why? Why will you die? Why will you go on that way? You can live just by asking the Lord Jesus to save you, to believe in him and trust in him. You know, if you didn't believe him, you wouldn't ask him. But if you believe in what he says, you'd ask him and he'd save you. Now turn with me to Matthew 27. There's another question that's asked, and the Lord Jesus asks it. It's verse 46. And we often read this verse in the breaking of bread meeting. Jesus is on the cross, and he's hanging there between heaven and earth. Men, cruel men, have put him there, and we all know the story. We've heard it 1,000 times, and the Lord Jesus says, it says, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did you forsake me? And we think about that, and sometimes when we have the breaking of bread meeting, we see the loaf and the cup there, it just goes like this in our hearts, and we are sad, and we have gladness in our hearts too, because we know the Lord Jesus died on the cross and he suffered greatly. He suffered there and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know what the answer is? Do you know what the answer is? For you, if you will believe. He was forsaken and turned aside for you, if you will believe. He was forsaken for me, my friend. And if you have already believed in the Lord Jesus, your Savior, you can say that with me. Yes, he stood there between heaven and earth and hung on that cross. And you can say, it was for me. You can cry out, he was forsaken of God for me. It was for me that Jesus died and God turned his back upon him when he took my sins. You know why God couldn't face and look upon Jesus at that moment, in that time, in those 3 hours of darkness? And that, you know why? Because your sins and mine, if you will believe on him, were put upon him. And God cannot look upon that sin. He could only turn and pour his wrath out upon this man, Jesus. He could only punish you. You know, this probably has never, ever happened to you. Any boy and girl here, has it ever happened to you where you were going to get a spanking and one of your brothers or sisters or some other boy or girl came up to you and said, okay, you're supposed to get a spanking for being naughty. I'm going to take your spanking for you. Has anybody ever had that happen? I don't think so. Never happened to me. But when we're talking about what the Lord Jesus did, that's what he did. He came up and he said, I will take your spanking for you. If you'll just let me, if you will let me take your spanking for you, this punishment that you deserve, if you'll let me take it for you, I will stand here and I will take it, and you can go free, and you don't need to be punished. And all you need to do is believe that God has said that and that it's true. Believe on Him, and you can have Him take your punishment and say you're free. You don't need to be punished. But if you won't, you will go on and you'll be punished. And there's only one thing left, and that's not good news. It's sad news, like we have a lot in here. The Lord Jesus will say to those people in that day, He'll say, away, go away, depart from me. I don't know who you are. You didn't believe on me. You weren't saved. You didn't trust in me as your Savior. Now it's too late. Go away from me. Depart. Go into outer darkness. Go into a lost eternity. Away, away. That's all there will be. And that's not good news. The good news is that that's all there will be. And that's not good news. The good news is that you don't have to. It's like the first verse we read. Why will you die? You can be saved. You can be saved now. And you can go. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I hope, my friend, and boy or girl, that you can say, it's for me. It's for me. If you can say that, then I can tell you, my friend, that you are saved. There's another verse in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20. Chapter 20 and verse 6. Those of us who are saved, sometimes we are kind of happy about that and we think, well, I'm so glad that I'm saved and I'm not going to hell. And that's a good thing. And I hope each one of us can say that. I am saved. And I'm happy that I'm not going to hell. I'm glad to know the Lord Jesus as my Savior. I'm thankful that Jesus saved me. I'm so glad that my mom and dad told me about Jesus. I'm so glad the Sunday school teacher talked to me about the Lord Jesus. I am so glad that somebody preached the gospel in the gospel meeting. They told me about the Lord Jesus. I am so glad that somebody wrote it down in a little tract and told me about the Lord Jesus and that He could save me. I'm so glad that there's a Sunday school paper that told me. But what about somebody else? You know, that's what this meeting is about. It's about somebody else other than me, other than somebody else sitting here that knows the Lord Jesus. This meeting is for somebody else so that they might be saved. Well, I know why Mom and Dad want you to be saved, because they love you very much. And you're their children. They want the very best for you. But what about somebody we don't know anything about? What about somebody that we've never met before? What about somebody that lives in a part of town we don't know them. Maybe we've seen them on the street. Maybe we saw them in school. We don't know anything about them. Maybe we've even played with them on the playground. But what about them? What about them if they don't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior? What about them? Well, this verse kind of applies to that. Read the whole thing, verse 6. At the top of the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? You know, that's really fun to talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus and that they get saved. If you have ever had that happen, or you talk to somebody about Jesus, you told them how they could be saved, and they said, you know, I believe what you're telling me. I want the Lord Jesus to come into my heart and be my Savior. I want to tell you, if that has never happened, that is a happy, happy, happy thing. And you will be able to tell somebody. Anybody that says that being a Christian and talking about the Lord Jesus can't be fun, they don't know what they're talking about. Because it can be fun and happy. And you can do that. And you can do that if you're a little boy or girl, and you can do that if you're an older one. But you know what happens? Sometimes we're just happy that we're saved, and that's it. We don't want to say anything to anybody else. We don't want to tell anybody else. We just want to be happy and be saved and then go through life, not have too many problems, have a nice little house, a little picket fence, no problems, have rain when it's supposed to, and then go to heaven and everything will be just fine. Well, that's not the way the Bible talks about it. There are people all around us that are going to hell. and going into a lost eternity. And we can tell them about the Lord Jesus. And maybe we're not so good about telling them. Maybe we don't think we can talk so good, but that doesn't matter. What you know, you can tell to somebody else. You know, how many Gospels are in this book? How many? Four? Yeah, there's four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know there's another Gospel. Maybe you didn't know this. I think you do if you listen to what I'm going to say. There's another Gospel. It's actually maybe what you could call a continuation of the Acts. Someone has said that the book of the Acts could be called the Acts or the actions of the Holy Spirit. And if you kept adding on to that book all the stories of all the people that have gotten saved right down to this day, it would be a long, long book. But there is a kind of gospel that is going on right now, and it's you. Each one of you that knows the Lord Jesus as your Savior and myself, that is a good news that is being told out just because you're saved. And if you can tell somebody, I know the Lord Jesus is my Savior, and He's changed my life. He's made it different. And I want you to know that it does work. It is real. If it didn't work, what's the purpose? You can tell somebody. If it doesn't work, then forget about it. But you can tell that to anybody. You can tell somebody what happened to you, what Jesus has done for you. You know, the different times we read in the gospel accounts how the Lord Jesus healed some people. He healed their eyes or their legs, healed them from leprosy, cast out demons and so on. There were people who went and told what had been done to them. The woman at the well that I talked about in John's gospel, when she left and she went into the city and she told what this man had said about all that she had ever done and so on, she went and told. You know what happened? People believed on the Lord Jesus. She was a living gospel message of good news to people around. And she didn't know anything except that she had met this man. She had met this man called Jesus, and she had found out that this man could tell her all that she'd ever done. He could tell her about her sins. She didn't know much more than that. She just said, come and see. Look at this guy. He is different. He is the one that's promised. He knows things that no man can know. This is more than a man. She didn't know much more than that. And it tells us that people did believe. And then it says that some came and they saw for themselves. And they said, now we believe because we have seen. We saw with our own eyes. They came to Jesus. Not everybody's just going to take one look at you and get saved. Or one listen to what you say and get saved. Some people it takes a long time. But someday you can stand in the glory. You can stand where the Lord Jesus is. And you could be before Him and you could look over and you could see, oh, I'm so glad I told Him. I'm so glad I told her about the Lord Jesus. And it might be your own little brother or little sister. How would you like to someday stand in the glory? Stand there with your mom and dad and others and you know, I told my little brother, I told my little sister about the Lord Jesus. It might even be your older brother and sister. And they got saved. Wouldn't that be marvelous? You know, when you die, or if the Lord comes and takes us, you know, we're not going to take things from this. You can't take your bicycle. You can't take your toys. You can't take your favorite blanket. You can't take anything from this scene. But this, you can take someone else that you've given the gospel to. And the Lord Jesus will point that out. And in that day when He gives His commendations to people, He will point at you and He will say, you did good. You are a faithful servant of mine, and you told someone about me, and they got saved. And I guarantee to you that that person is going to throw their arms around you after they've already been to see Jesus when they get there. And they're going to thank you for telling them about the Lord Jesus. And that will be a marvelous experience and a marvelous time when they will throw their arms around those that told them about Jesus and told them how they could be saved and told them in a way that they couldn't turn aside. Because why will you die? I can't figure it out. I don't understand it. Why would you die? Why would you go away? Why would you leave this meeting tonight? Well, you might say, well, Lord Jesus, He was boring. He didn't tell it plain enough. Well, maybe that's true sometimes. But tonight, there has been at least one verse or a few words. And I believe it with all my heart because I believe that prayers of the people in this room that are praying right now and the ones that prayed in here, that God hears those prayers. And no matter how the person up here sometimes is, or isn't, that God takes a few words and he puts them in your little heart, and he plants those seeds there, and he stirs in them. And you can turn and say, no. But you can simply turn and say, yes, Lord Jesus, save me now. I believe in you. I come right now. Save me. I trust in you. It's not any harder than that. It's not any more difficult. You have heard a lot of what I've said tonight. Maybe I've talked a little bit about some things that are a little different, because my life has been a little different than yours, but you have heard it before. But right now, tonight, I don't want you to leave your chair. I don't want you, how old you are, I don't want you to leave tonight and go home with your mom and dad. I don't want you to do that until right now you get saved. Right now. That's what I want. And I know your mommy and daddy want it. And I know if I could ask each person in this room that's been praying in the meeting and before, they'd say, I want it too. I want every boy and girl to be saved right now, tonight. So we just pray and ask God's help. And boy and girl, when we're praying right now, as we bow our heads, you can talk to the Lord Jesus in your heart, and you can ask him to save you right this very minute. You don't have to wait. So bow your heads, let's close our eyes, and talk to the Lord Jesus.